Ovo's Waking Up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3 New FM.
Only on 105.3 New FM.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Ready to go for a Thursday. How are you, Kath?
Excellent. How are you, Craig?
A little bit rattled, to be honest. So, I got out to my car. You know, I have the big janitor's key ring here with like 70,000 keys.
Yeah.
And I just like fumble through it for the car key. I'm like, oh, no car key.
No, hold on, where is it?
That's the great question, right? So, of course, retrace your steps quickly. Get it, like, fumble the phone out of the pocket, like, try and put the flashlight thing on, and there it's on and off again. Anyway, I'm walking back, looking through the. Oh no, that's a dog poo. Leave that. That's not it. You know, it had jammed itself. It had fallen off the key ring and jammed itself in between the screen door and my front door.
Lucky you found it.
Oh,
lucky
so
it wasn't
lucky.
Snapped or something.
Yeah, the little ring that like. Holds it on like a clip and just snapped.
Wow.
Just as I was like locking the back door. Very lucky to have made it this morning. Because who knows where the backup key is? Wouldn't have a clue.
Oh, the real winners are us, though. You managed to make it here this morning, Steve.
Couldn't be more true. How are you this morning, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm very good. We're rattled as well. Siobhan broke her glasses last night. Yeah, disaster. She was filling in for Abysmal Abilities. We were short numbers.
Yeah.
Played one game, broke her glasses.
Oh, so now she has
so
to do.
So unlucky.
Does she have to go everywhere with like two magnifying glasses?
She's got a spare pair, but not with the right prescription. So they'll do for now, but we obviously need to order a new pair.
Yeah, that's no good. How are you this morning, Jess?
I'm all right.
That's a good.
Woo!
I'll take it. Nothing off kilter for you?
I don't think so.
Oh, brilliant. At least
touch wood.
Exactly.
Very quickly.
Yeah, don't jinx it.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't mean to. You're waking up with the Novos here at New FM.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is... The Novos. You're waking up with the Novos.
105.3 New FM.
The ARIA Awards were held last night, Australian music's night of nights with the red carpet and all of the things, and there is nothing that makes me feel more old.
Why do you say that?
Because I don't know who most of the artists are.
Neither does anyone, though.
Often with the ARIAs, yeah, it's some, you know...
obscure rap artists that you,
correct.
Yeah, you just don't know.
The industry's love it.
They're trashy, yeah, they're rubbish, but they're ours. That's why we love them. That's what I think, anyway.
There was one category I was fully across, though, the children's music category.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of the Wiggles and Play School, and I think it's really, really cool that Emma, the former Wiggle, the redheaded Wiggle, who is now Emma Memma, because she's no longer a Wiggle,
right.
She beat the Wiggles.
Really?
Oh, that would have been a massive upset.
Can you imagine?
Do they put her on the same table still?
No.
She and her husband were
off kind of in a different spot, and the Wiggles were way over there. Keep them nice and separate.
Yeah.
Well, I think she inherited the yellow skivvy. When she was in. Yeah.
And she has become a big star. Like, she's done well for herself to, you know, separate
she
off.
She was. The ridiculously white teeth I think I've ever seen. But, yeah.
She was one of the few people I recognised from the Amazing Race Australia Celebrity Edition.
the only one.
The few people I was like, I know her. I've seen her before.
She is a celebrity, unlike the rest of them. Who are these people? Couldn't tell you. Waking up with the Novos here at New FM.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at Five with Jess.
And Jess, a man and a woman have been charged over their alleged involvement in a number of shoplifting incidents.
Yes, this happened earlier this week. Police have been investigating a number of thefts between August and November this year. Three at Charlestown and one at Mount Hutton as well. They tracked down a man and a woman earlier this week at Charlestown and took them into custody. They also executed a search warrant at a unit in Gateshead where they found all of the items that they stole and took them back and I presume will be returned to where they belong. They were charged with 10 counts of larceny between them and they remain before the courts this week.
Larceny sounds like a much better word. When I hear shoplifting, I think of, you know, a 12-year-old stealing a chocolate bar or something.
Yeah, but if you're nicking like thousands of dollars worth of stuff, it's very different, isn't
it? Exactly.
They've done well to find it. That stuff normally gets moved on fairly quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah. Does it?
Well, I don't know. I tend to. I had my phone nicked from a bus once. No, didn't see any money for it ever. Yeah. Hey, they caught the guy. Didn't see any money for it or nothing, you know? Mm. Yeah. Sometimes that's the way it goes. So lucky for these people that all their items have been found.
Back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very good.
Anyway, other people are going to try and get lucky this weekend, I suppose, Jess. Financially, Newcastle's version of the Everest here this weekend.
Yeah, it is. So the Hunter, the $1 million the Hunter race is being run at this Saturday. It's the only big race day happening in the state, so that means all eyes are going to be on Newcastle, which is great. Some local trainers, Chris Lees has a horse running in the Hunter Rustic Steel, who's done very well the last couple of years, won the big dance at Royal Randwick last year, has had a pretty good run this year as well. Sam Cavanaugh, he's got a runner in the Spring Stakes, which is a Group 3 race, which is also being run on Saturday just before the big the Hunter race, so plenty of local horses to get behind. And Dylan Gibbons, that jockey from Maitland, riding a few horses as well.
If you're not, you know, horse racing isn't your thing as well, which I understand it's not for everyone. I've heard the Sneaky Sound System are performing as well on the day.
So. And surely that's everyone's thing.
Oh, I'm excited for that just as much as I am for the horse race. That sounds like a great
day. Something for everyone.
Yeah, that's it. It's on for young and old this weekend.
There we go. Get in amongst it if you love it.
Feel good story to launch you into your Thursday morning. Because after missing for over 4 years, Nigel the Parrot has been reunited with his family in England.
Oh, that is nice, because parrots often live a long time, don't they?
They do, yeah. Like, in terms of pets, they do. Well, we grew up with parrots, so there's like parrots in my family home, and I know for a fact how quiet it is when they're not there. You miss them, you know, the house feels empty. So Nigel's family is obviously very stoked to have him back and chatty as ever, but there is one major change, right? Because while when he left, he enjoyed tea and biscuits and, you know, saying stuff like cheerio, he now has returned enjoying churros and saying stuff like hola. He speaks Spanish now.
Wait,
unbelievably.
So he fly all the way to Spain.
He flew all the way to Spain.
What an adventure, though, for that parrot to have, you know, living a new life in a new country. Sometimes you just get to a point in life and you think, I do need a change, and that's probably what's happened for this parrot.
I don't know. You see it with this, you know, like, you know, such exciting and, you know, you see the good in people, I suppose. In my mind, I'm like, man, Nigel's like your annoying mate who spent a summer in Italy and comes back saying ciao. Oh, we get it. You're on Contiki in Spain for a few years, Nigel. Don't forget your roots, all right? You're a British bird, and you need to remember that.
As a British bird, you should drink tea and have really bad teeth.
Yeah, well, that's it. He needs to... la-di-da, you got to live it up in Spain for a few years. Obviously, I'm glad he's back and reunited with his family. Fingers crossed, though, he's back, you know, to his British ways very, very shortly.
More tea bags, less chimichurri.
UFM. The Novos. And this is UFM at breakfast. At breakfast. The Novos.
If you are planning on avoiding the air show crowds this weekend by doing some hardcore binging on your streaming services, Netflix has come to the rescue. The Crown, season 6 and the final season, drops today, but it's actually only the first 4 episodes that drops today.
They often do that because they make you come back.
Yeah, so the first 4 episodes are totally focused on those couple of months around when Diana was killed in that bad car crash in Paris, and the criticism of the Queen for not kind of being present, and things like, you know, that they didn't have the official standard at half-mast and all that kind of stuff that happened at the time. All of that in 4 episodes. Then you've got to wait a month. And then on December 14, the final 6 episodes of the entire series, because this is the last season, drop. And that will cover the rest of the Queen's life.
Wow. That seems like a lot of ground to cover in 6 years, doesn't it?
Well, 6 episodes.
6 episodes. 6 episodes, sorry. I mean, yeah.
It feels like they might have, you know, they do that like 1-2, skip a few, 99-100 thing.
It is exactly like that, right? So all of the first 4 episodes happen in the years 97 to 2005. And then the final 6 kind of after that, not quite to the Queen's death, but to when Kate and William started becoming a thing.
So
it's like multiple decades kind of covered, yeah.
So when she parachuted into the opening ceremony of the 2012 London Olympics, that's in there, I think, right? That'd be in that time frame.
I'd be disappointed if it wasn't.
That's like going to be the highlight.
Would have thought so, anyway.
And the bit where she's having tea with Paddington Bear, I loved that.
Surely that's in there, right?
It should be.
Anyway. We should be producing this, really. We've got all the highlights sorted.
Easy as that. I wanted just to have a little look at, I guess, the cycling culture here in Newcastle. Because years ago, I lived in Canberra for a couple of years.
La-dee-da.
It's a very flat city, right? Completely flat. And it seems like everyone there is into cycling. But they're into cycling in this kind of, like, very serious way. For example, right, you see all of the... On a Saturday morning, you'll see them in their little gangs out and about, and they take over the road, right? They've got their full Lycra on, and that Lycra even has, like, all the, like, company logos on it and stuff.
They're sponsored.
Well, I don't think they are. I just think they're sort of 37-year-old men who like to think they could imagine they're a sponsor, but they're not.
They've gone and got like one of those cycling vests from Rebel Sport, and they're going, right. Like, it's like a team shirt.
Exactly, yeah, right.
Like a jersey, but yeah, for cycling.
Yes. Perfect. You understand?
Wow.
Then the angle at which they ride as well, but they're very leaned forward, sort of like a sideways capital L, you know, at all times. Like, yeah, surely that can't be comfortable long term, especially if you don't train to do that as a job, you know. The other thing is they wear these very funny shoes that like clip into the like the pedals.
Yeah.
So when they get out, like of course they stop at the cafe, right? At about, you know, 11 after their first hour or whatever. And they, as a gang, they're all clippity clop, like
so annoying.
Going up, oh yeah, I'll have a carrot cake, please. Why have you ordered that? They're always ordering weird stuff like that. Anyway, in Newcastle, it's a bit of a different vibe. Now, I've been watching the cyclists around Newcastle the last couple of weeks, and it's just, I don't know, there's something different about it. First of all, age range, quite similar. That sort of late 30s, early 40s kind of vibe, right? And except the difference is, instead of the Lycra, often it's no shirt, right?
Okay.
And somehow, this 44-year-old has had 45 years in the sun with no shirt and no sunscreen. And the skin takes on this sort of, it's quite unusual. It's like if you had a sultana and then stretched all the wrinkles out of it.
I think the word is leathery.
That could be it, right?
Slip slop slap, please. Yeah,
exactly. And then as they hold their can of mother up to the like up to the sun, you can like see through the skin like some sort of glorious Bogan stained glass or something. Bogan stained. It's just an extraordinary situation. Also, if they don't have the can of energy drink, it might be like a 2-litre bottle of Coke or something like that. I mean, what are you doing carrying that with a rolled cigarette in the other hand, cycling on a BMX bike? It's just a very different vibe here. And you know what? It's uniquely Newcastle, and I love it.
You're right as well. No one leans forward. They're not trying here.
They're always at full, like, stand-up level. There's no sidewards L's in Newcastle.
I think that's a City of Newcastle thing, because when you get out to Maitland, there's plenty of people taking it pretty seriously.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's like Hamilton, Waratah, you know, Mayfield, Windale, that kind of vibe. And I love it. I love how unique it is to our city.
Have you guys heard of Quiet Hour? Do you know what that is?
It's not like Coles and Woolies, right? Like,
yeah, and a bunch of other places. It was introduced in 2017, and it was done at the bidding of the autism community, actually, to create an hour in the supermarket that was a little less overwhelming for those who find noise and light problematic and triggering.
Sure. I actually don't mind the idea to go out. Like, sometimes there is just too much going on. We just have it a bit quieter in there.
Millions, like literally millions of migraine sufferers were also using that hour, which was 10:30 to 11:30 on a Tuesday, which isn't very convenient for lots of people.
No, everyone's at work, aren't they?
Yeah, mostly.
You know, people have lives. You can actually be disabled and have a life. Anyway, news out yesterday, Coles has expanded Quiet Hour. They have heard from the people that we would like to shop at reasonable times and have jobs and lives and all those kinds of things. So there will now be Quiet Hour 5 days a week, Monday through Friday between 6 and 7.
PM or AM?
PM.
Oh, that's good.
That's a handy hour, that is.
Yeah. So that's after work. So what they do during Quiet Hour, right, is they actually dim the lights.
Yeah.
So depending on the store, whether they can actually dim the lights or they turn half of the fluoros off.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, which makes it nice and much
more ambient.
Nice
a lot.
Yeah, you know, ambience is kind of a great word. And then they shut off the music. So rather than having Coles radio pump through the store, which, you know, there is a lot of science behind, makes the shopping experience, you know, more pleasurable, and people spend more because they're feeling good and they're singing along to the music and all the rest of it, which we understand being in this business.
Yeah,
they
sure.
turn it off.
Yeah, right.
They also don't do any announcements, any of those PA announcements during that hour.
Hopefully no lost kids.
I'm sure if there was a lost kid, they would probably still do it. But what they do is, instead of, you know, saying, you know, clean up aisle whatever,
they just put a little text message out.
Yeah, text message, or actually walk on the floor and go and find whoever they need.
Oh, that's good too.
So they're going to do this between 6 and 7, 5 days a week. I would expect that Woolies will announce in about a week's time that they're doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good thing. But I actually, you know, I would like them to go one step further. How about you just do that all the time?
No, I actually don't like quiet hour.
Really?
I understand that people need it and that, like, it's a service that is valuable to many.
Yeah.
But, like, my eyes are no good. And when they turn off all lights in the deli, I can't tell the difference between the fettas, you know?
Or, like, Australian or Greek
or
feta.
Or the cut of hams, you know? They all look the same. That makes it difficult for me to shop, I think. But, I do like the idea that people can go in and have it without all that extra stimuli knocking about.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I can't speak on behalf of the autism community, but on behalf of the 5 million-odd Australians with migraine, who many of whom find noise and light to be very triggering, thank you, Coles.
Yeah, there you go. Very good. What is it, 6 till 7?
6 till 7 every weeknight.
Excellent stuff.
The Novos. Waking up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3
New FM. Only on 105.3 New FM.
So one of my friends is like a volunteer helper for Wires, you know, the... Like
Wildlife
the,
Rescue.
Yeah, and they've been given to foster a baby kangaroo.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm going to show you guys a photo, but it's one of those animals where the ears seem like different parts of the body grow at different rates.
Yeah,
like
they grow into it.
The ears are so big at the moment compared to its tiny little like body and legs and stuff. Mm. Apparently, though, a lot of work. Like, you got to give it the special formula or whatever multiple times a night and stuff like that. And it lives in a pillowcase at the moment to simulate like the pouch or whatever, and so it'll like when it's time to go out for its morning, like go to the toilet or whatever, it like hops out of the pillowcase and then doing 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 and then hops back in. So cute. They sent me a video of it last night. Oh my God, I was like, wow, this is an amazing little animal.
I have so much respect for people who foster animals, because you got to give them up at the end of it as well.
That's right.
It's so heartbreaking, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I guess, you know, you're just helping them along the way and bring you so much joy during that time, right?
Yeah, you most certainly are. Time to embarrass ourselves. Basically, I set the scene. I was having a Zoom catch-up with my family not long ago. And as you do when you talk to your family, you're completely comfortable. You're just talking absolute rubbish. And my dad said something which, while being very true, me and my brother profusely refuted, right? He was like, you two are from a generation where you don't listen to albums anymore. You just listen to singles. No one listens to an album cover to cover, which is like pretty true, but we were like, no way, no, we bought heaps of albums back in the day. To which my dad replied, all right, well, what were the first albums you guys bought? And me and my brother looked at each other and our faces just sunk, our chests just sunk. We thought, uh-oh, because your first album is so embarrassing. Obviously, the first album you buy isn't like an indicator of what your future music taste is going to be like.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like what you've heard on the radio and what your parents kind of like, a mixture of both. And you're going out on your own kind of, I don't know. But we saved up all our pennies and we went down to Sanity at the time.
Sure.
I don't even know if Sanity exists anymore. But
yeah, they do.
They do.
Hanging on by a string online, maybe. Yeah. But yeah.
So we went down to Sanity and I bought this album here.
That's cool.
Oh, I love this song growing up. It was like the essential Michael Jackson, though. It wasn't any album. It was like compilation.
There is nothing embarrassing about buying Michael Jackson.
40 songs over 3 CDs.
$20 as well. Like that was just to give you a deal.
But my brother, he went a different route and he bought this album. So that's Jordan Sparks featuring a Guy Sebastian song, Art of Love, which my brother bought the Guy Sebastian album back when Guy Sebastian was still rocking the afro, you know, before he was like, cool, I guess.
Now, you would have teased him about that.
Oh, absolutely.
Mercilessly, right?
And for years and years and years. But that's the point. When you're a kid, you make some silly decisions sometimes. So I thought, you know what? Like, he's embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I'm going to bring you guys in it as well. What are our first albums bought amongst the team?
Now, this wasn't a proper album, but it had, like, you know how they used to put, like, the original instrumental extended version, you know, like a sort of a single, but oh my god, this was mine. So embarrassing.
No, it wasn't. Oh, Mark Crevo.
It's such an embarrassment. Oh,
there's not much that turns Crevo actually pink in studio, but he's not thrilled with this at all.
I can top that.
No, you can't. What have you got?
Yes, I can. This is a classic example of the first album is not indicative of the music taste for the rest of your life.
Just a disclaimer.
My grandmother, for my 9th birthday, this is going to date me, everything, how old I am now, gave me a gift certificate. A $10 gift certificate for the local music store. At this point, we lived in Moree. And I went in there and, you know, at 9, you don't really know stuff.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I knew one song, which was this one.
True blood isn't me.
What is this?
What Stephen said.
That is John Williamson doing True Blue, and as most of our audience will know and understand, it was a number one song. It was huge.
When?
Massive, massive, massive song, and it still gets used in ads and things to this day. It was like the country version of John Farnham's You're the Voice. It was one of those epically Australian songs, and it was about the only song I knew. I bought the entire album on cassette.
Wow. Now, Jess, you've been real quiet, trying to, you know, you think you dodged some of this embarrassment. You're not. We're dragging you in. You want to tell us about your first purchase?
I don't think mine's that embarrassing, to be honest. I'm pretty cool with it. It's this. It's great.
Yeah.
See, we love it. We love it.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realise you were a 55-year-old mum, Jess. Well done.
Hell yeah.
Love your white wine, do you?
Pink. She's still massive today. See?
No, Pink is cool.
I knew what was going on.
Pink is very cool. Can I just say in my own defense that my second album was Dire Straits' Money for Nothing.
Oh, great
album. And I think
album.
That's one of the coolest albums of all time. So can we just ignore? Like,
I don't know. We can't ignore that. We can't.
I wish.
Yeah, I wish we could.
If it was up to me, we'd be doing second albums. But I'm not making the rules. I'm just enforcing them, you know?
So True Blue it is.
True Blue it is. And this is what we're looking for. Join us here, 4967-4105. Having a bit of fun for your Thursday morning. You get some freebies as well. We've got $100 gift cards for Revolution Sports Park. We've also got double passes to New FM's advanced screening of One True Love's happening at Event Cinemas Katara. Need to give us a call, 4967-4105. Tell us the first album you bought, whether it's a flex, like a really cool one. Maybe you did get the Dire Straits album first instead of second. Or if it's really embarrassing, like the ones amongst the team. 4967-4105. So we'll head to Cessnock first. Morning, Andrew. Tell us a bit about the first album you bought, mate.
Hey, g'day, guys. My first album was Susie Quattro's Can the Can.
Oh, this one, mate. Does that bring back the memories?
That's the one. I had to buy that album twice before I played it.
What was that, sorry?
I had to buy the album twice before I could play it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, what, didn't work the first time. No good. That desperate, though. How good's that?
Indeed,
I can just imagine Andrew, the long mullet flowing,
head-banging. This going.
I reckon he loved it.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Charlestown. Robbie, what was your first album?
My first album was Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare.
Oh, and of
with
course...
With Only Women Bleed.
Yeah. This one. Only Women Bleed. Now, I can imagine you, as a young person, Robbie, just cruising down the road with this cranking.
That big glam rock area was just awesome.
Did you have the big hair, Robbie, as well?
Well, I was 13 at the time, but, I had long hair, but, but I just loved him. I don't know why.
You would have saved up all your pennies, hey, for weeks and weeks.
Considering we got 50 cents a week pocket money.
It
would take ages, wouldn't it? Ages indeed. All right, up next to Stockton. Louise, what was your first album?
Chartstoppers Volume 1.
Oh, which this is what we're after, is it?
Yep.
That's bringing back the memories?
That is, absolutely.
Now, describe the situation when you would play this. What was your vibe back then?
I was just, we had a tiny little turntable and my sister and I used to sit around and just listen to this song and my friends, but the whole album.
Yeah, he just loved it, had this cranking.
Yeah, it was a safe bet because it had a mixture of songs.
Yeah, right, and that's what you want sometimes, that safe bet, right? Exactly.
I remember, like, the first CD that I bought, just to kind of, you know, continue that I did buy cool things, was the first 100% hits ever.
Really?
Yeah, and I am so sad that I lost it because it's crazy valuable now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
And that would be so cool if the first album you ever bought wasn't this.
Which is, of course. Let's never forget this, right?
It was actually the whole album of Mally Boy, I'll just have you know.
I'm sure it was, and I'm sure that makes it not better at all.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is The Novos. You're waking up with The Novos.
105.3 New FM.
And after India beat New Zealand last night by 70 runs, there is one spot left in the Cricket World Cup final. And Australia wants to make it ours. We want to make it ours. We're taking on South Africa tonight, 7:30. The winner of that, like I said, moves on to the final against India to be, I guess, crowned the world champions of cricket.
As we should be.
Are you guys watching this game tonight?
I think I might, hey.
How long will it run for?
Probably like, I don't know, 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
Probably. You're both watching?
Probably not live.
If you want to watch it, you can stream at 9 Now or KO. Yeah. Okay. Available on both those services. So, like, it's pretty accessible. But, yeah, get
but
behind the
cool
Aussies.
Night, Crevo. We'll go to bed. I'll probably watch it when I wake up at 2.
Steven,
you know what
prediction.
The problem is as well? The final is a Sunday night at, like, 7:30 p.m. Oh. That's a school night as well.
That's no fair, is it?
I know, not very fun. But
Steven, prediction, do you think we're getting in?
Yeah, of course we are. We're in great form.
Good
stuff.
Good to hear.
Always getting in. Now, Crevo, you may remember last week you got all excited and said you were going to write a children's book.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
I am excited about
that. This was, if my memory's right, Hillary Duff released one.
Yeah.
And Craig was like, I could do that.
We're talking about it in What's the Goss.
Yeah.
And you were like, it's a doddle.
I don't think it'd be that hard. Sure. Nah. A couple of rhyming words here and there, a couple cute pictures.
An animal that, you know, is using implements in a way it shouldn't be able to. How hard can it be?
You boys are both so, so, so wrong. But I've got you some help. So we've got Elizabeth Misek on the phone. She is an award-winning local children's author and illustrator, and her illustrations have just won the New England 2023 Illustration Prize. Hi, Liz. How are you doing?
Well, hi. Really good, Kath and the team. How are you doing?
Good. A little bit shocked there.
Me
too. Been called out on a fake promise.
Yeah, but I'm also excited by this because I reckon you'd have the tips and tricks. If you're award-winning, how long does it usually take to knock one up? What, the night or something? Just the evening?
Maybe the draft of an idea.
Yeah, see, now, I don't think I could do the illustration. I will give you that. That's amazing you're doing both. But when you do the story, when it just pops into your mind, how long between that and you finished up?
This is sort of the start. So I've taken 2 years to take this journey so far to become a picture book illustrator, but I've always illustrated my whole life. So with my illustration, if I had the idea straight away and then I'd sit on it for a couple of days just to make sure that I've used the right scale and frame and everything, and I'll draw up a few things. And then I'll plan my palette out. Sometimes if I'm not too sure about it, I'll do like a little tester just to see how the colours go together, and then I'll work on the artwork, and the artwork itself actually comes together really quickly. I'll do a light sketch, and then my sketch stays on the paper, and then I'll do a rough sort of watercolor over it, and then I add the pencil, and that would take probably about 2 days.
Yeah, right. It's not too bad. Yeah,
a bit more to it than maybe you thought, though, Crevo.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, when you get a story, you have to, which is, it's so fun. You just visualize, like, you're here the story, and especially when it's coming from an author and you haven't read the words before, that's when the magic happens, because you can just visualize it all happening, and then you pick out the parts that really stand out. And then you want to also create that narrative arc as well. You don't want it all to be loud and in your face straight away. You want it to sort of build up.
Yeah. So have you ever done one where you, like, you do the pictures first and write the story second, or does the story always come first?
I've been asked that, and I'm very visual. I think I'd be able to create a story looking at a picture. I think I'd prefer to have the words and then let it all just unravel, because it's like a new world.
So you're affiliated with the Hunter Writers' Centre, right?
I am, yes.
So what is the Hunter Writers' Centre? Is this something Crevo should be involved in to write his children's book?
Absolutely. You'd get so much advice. Everybody, it's ridiculous. Coming into this community, I have not met one person that is not willing to just give their time and just offer advice. Like, you would just be inundated with everyone trying to help and giving beautiful advice.
Question for you, if I come up with a story, because I really do think I could do that, is there some situations where there's a writer and then a separate illustrator? Can that be done as well? Like, could you do my drawings for me?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be amazing.
Oh, I love this. We've got a little partnership set up.
Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations again on the award. Thanks, I know the New England Writers' Centre does these nationally recognised, really prestigious awards. They have very tough standards, so to win it is no small feat. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. That's really appreciated.
And I'll be in touch with my book, all right?
Beautiful. Let's do it.
Day before yesterday, in the afternoon, before I went over to the shop, I was feeling a little low energy.
Right,
so
okay.
I decided to pull into the 7-Eleven at Mayfield West. This is the one near the charcoal chicken shop, just there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've driven in there it was for a cream, right? I had a little hankering for a cream.
Cream on, brother.
Yeah, exactly. And when I pulled in, I've noticed that you can only pull in from one entry on the Maitland Road side, because I had this big screen up around all the petrol bowsers, like at a festival or something, you know, when they just screen off an area for VIPs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what's going on here, you know? Anyway, so I've pulled in and I went into the shop, because the shop's still open. The big sign saying shop's still open. And I've gone in talking to the owner. I picked up a little Maxi Bon, you know, and I was talking to the owner. I was like, what's going on with you, petrol? Bowser. He goes, oh, we're doing a big renovation on the petrol bowsers. I'm like, what is even that? What even is that? Like, you can't put a little patio on the front, you know? It's like a new bathroom, new kitchen. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it's like, no dramas. Grab my little bon and standing out the front, just surveying the land and the surroundings, right? Rip open the bon and I bite into that delicious, like, the chocolate side, of course.
Yeah,
enjoying
of course.
It, watching it. There's three guys working on this situation. One is up sort of near the roof, and he's got an angle grinder. The sparks are flying everywhere.
Yeah,
okay. And I'm like, OH&S a little bit here, I don't know. And then there's a bloke below him on a welder, and they're doing like big welding, also sparks flying everywhere. There was a third guy, right, and he did have like the little Pope garden hose shooting out, dribbling out a bit of water out the end. But even if they've turned off all the pumps, which I'm sure they have.
Yeah, they would have had measures here.
I still feel like there's like residual, you know, petrol around. It was making me very nervous. Even though I had my Comfort Maxi Bon, I still didn't feel that comfortable. It's like you're telling me I can't, you know, use my mobile phone, but you guys are right to be on the angle grinder. Have I misunderstood the dangers of petrol? I don't know.
Well, I'm sure they've, you know, done all these safety checks and stuff like that, but you're right. I guess inherently, like, fuel and fire don't famously mix very well. That's so I can understand your concern.
Traditionally, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe I've misunderstood how flammable petrol is. Maybe that's just, you know, a bit of a myth. I don't know.
No, I don't know. Have you ever, you know, thrown fuel on the fire? Literally? Actually, it goes up. Yeah.
In a bonfire, a little bit of petrol goes a long way, traditionally. But I don't know. I just feel like the safety of the whole situation, I feel like it could be improved. That's just my vibe.
New FM is local as, and you're waking up.
You're waking up with the Novos.
New FM.
So yesterday, guys, I went out to Greta, and you know how it was quite muggy and hot in town? Out there, the heat was on another level. So I was out there, like, moving furniture people were selling to me for the shop.
That doesn't help.
It was very hot, but that, you know, you've got your pampered pooch, Brinny, right? This lady, she had the little dog with, and instead of just letting the dog out to run around the yard or whatever, kept it in the car with the aircon on, like, 40 minutes.
Really?
Just left the car running, you know? That is pampered on another level. This dog didn't want to be too hot or too bothered.
I don't see the problem with this, Crevo.
There we go. You've said it before. Most pampered pooches in Newcastle.
Yeah, but you try and, like, palm that off like your Whippet Molly isn't spoiled as well, Crevo.
Nah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. I wouldn't leave the car on for 40 minutes. It's a long time. It's a long time. But Greta was hot yesterday. Oh, my God.
So the Newcastle Wedding Showcase is coming up on Sunday. That's happening at the Apollo International. One of those big expo things where all the wedding providers come and all of the happy young couples go in there and see all of the things.
Holding hands, looking at bouquets, all that kind of stuff, hey? You
know, largely blokes dragged along.
Yeah, and lots of mothers-in-law that kind of, you know, drag themselves along. And I was thinking that perhaps, you know, the young couples planning their wedding throughout the Hunter might be a little bit nervous because there's been all these really big bad stories lately of particularly companies going bust and leaving people without what they've paid for. The big one is, of course, Anchored Cinema, that videography group, who have kind of about 200 clients that didn't get the videos that they paid for, right?
Wow, and out of pocket, yeah.
Yeah, not only they're massively out of pocket, right, you can't get those memories back.
Yeah.
Yeah, particularly when you're talking photography and videos, once you've kind of had the event, it's gone, it's done. You can't go back and
wait. So
that.
Someone's filmed it, but now they just can't access the footage at all.
Yeah.
So you can't even organise someone else to come and replace it out of your own pocket.
No, because it's after the event.
Wow.
These guys have gone bust and they've taken money and sometimes taken extra fees to rush the video.
Yeah, that sucks.
And not delivered. And in a lot of the cases, the reason why that they haven't got the footage is that they subcontracted to other video people who did the video, but they're not going to hand it over until they get paid.
Hmm.
Right?
And fair enough for them as well. They've done the work. They deserve to be paid.
Fair enough. Absolutely. So there's all of this. And there's, you know, lots of other stories of people getting ripped off, particularly you mentioned it's a wedding and the price suddenly jumps.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah,
you know, when I got married, we actually didn't tell the venues or anything that was we're getting married.
So, really?
Yeah, we got
it's
a cheap
a
as.
Big top tip, particularly when you're talking venues.
Yeah.
Because venues have like some of them will even charge like an extra wedding fee.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, like as though, you know, somehow a wedding is going to trash the joint more than a, you know, a birthday party.
Yeah.
We just said really we got this many people, we're going to have dinner, and that was it. Simple as that.
Easier for you, though, because you had quite a small wedding.
That is true.
It's not like you go into them, we just want 500 people over for dinner. Nice and simple.
Just put it on one bill, yeah? Is that cool? No split bills, no dramas.
And, of course, there is that the venue that went broke here, 48 Watt Street.
Yeah, that's right. So this was back in July, and I think there's new people in there now. I'm sure they're sorting it out, but back then a lot of panicked couples who had, like, deposits in and everything. And suddenly, you know, the people that had the venue before just washing their hands of it. I don't know. It's up to you now.
And without knowing for sure, I would imagine that the new owners probably don't owe anything
to the
money that was paid to the previous owners, right?
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
This sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, so I get a bit riled up about this stuff because I famously am so bad at relationships that I've actually been engaged 3 times and planned 3 weddings and cancelled 3 weddings. So
I am really
an expert at getting deposits back.
Wow.
Have you got them all back or not?
No, not all of them. So the first one I got burned pretty badly, right? And I was only 18 at the time, so I did lots and lots of dumb things.
Yeah.
You know, including thinking that everything would be wonderful and fine. And I just got totally taken to the cleaners on that one.
Yeah, big mistakes made.
But learned from that one. And the second one was actually to a guy in the States, and I learned a lot over there because there's a lot of different things that they do over here that aren't widely done. So one of the things that I strongly recommend, right, is ask particularly your vendor venue who, you know, often ask for deposits of like 10 grand or 15 grand, like big money, a year before the event or more, ask them to put that deposit in escrow or use an escrow service. So you've probably heard of escrow, you know, when you buy a house, right?
Yeah,
the deposit goes into escrow and it gets held in this account. So if the sale doesn't go forward, the money goes back to you, no problem, right?
Oh,
and,
okay.
And the interest gets split between the two parties. You can do the same thing for things like wedding deposits.
That's a good tip.
That is a good tip.
A lot of venues here in Australia don't do it. It's pretty widespread in the States, but here they don't do it as much. But one of the other things that you can do that I used very successfully on wedding number three is I specifically got a credit card that had purchase insurance. So if you didn't get the product that you paid for, it got refunded back.
Oh, that's a good
tip. So what we thought we'd do here is ask Newcastle, right? What are your tips to avoid being ripped off?
I like that.
4967-4105. Give us a call if you've got a story about being ripped off or you've got a tip, and we'd love to hear
it. Yeah, maybe you ripped off yourself and you just need a place to vent.
Yeah,
just
that's
need
it.
A place to share your frustration. We're here. We're one big happy family.
4967-4105. And up for grabs today, we have some prizes, yeah? So first of all, you could get yourself a $100 Revolution Sports Park gift card, which would be so fun. A lot of fun for kids, big and small. And we've got the passes to the cinema as well. New FM's advanced screening of One True Loves at Event Cinemas Katara, which is going to be lovely.
We put this up on the socials last night. The top tip is don't get married.
Yeah, it doesn't help a lot of people, though,
that
does it?
No, that's
some actual helpful tips, and these are some pretty good comments in the same vein of thought you had, Crevo. Mm. Don't mention it's a wedding.
Yep.
So Sarah said, don't say the word wedding at all. Taboo word. We ordered a triple layered white chocolate slab cake for 20 to 30 people. Order it, went to pick it up. My fiance paid, and then I walked in with my hair done all fancy, and they were not happy that we didn't mention the word wedding. They could have stung you more. Another one from Daniel, basically saying that a guy he worked with hired this function for a party, didn't mention the word wedding. When they all rocked up in suits and all that, they tried to like charge them, sting them an extra wedding fee on top of the service they've already provided for the price they've already quoted. Doesn't like you said, it's so different to a party, really, is it?
No, I mean, you know, I would think that an 18th would trash the place more than a wedding.
I think so, yeah, absolutely.
You'd hope so. You've gained a bit more maturity than when you're 18, when you're getting married. To Cardiff, Katie, have you heard of a situation? You got a story? What have you got for us?
Well, there's loads of stories coming out about dodgy videographers and photographers, and they don't get their footage back. But, you know, with the cost of living being as expensive as it is, get bulk GoPros. Strap them on random guests. And then you've got all your footage, all different footage that you can edit yourself. And it's probably going to be cheaper. All these, like, you know, old school GoPros. And it's a win.
And at the end, you can sell all the GoPros on Facebook Marketplace and you get all your money back.
Love it.
Yeah, that's a genius right
God,
there.
That'd be fun. Imagine everyone's point of view throughout the night. Imagine you've had a few too many lemonades, you can't remember it. Oh, well, I'll just have a look at my GoPro footage.
Well,
see where
it
all went
wrong. Something that's been done at weddings, you know, for a very long time is giving out those disposable cameras.
Yeah,
and
that's
just
fun.
Getting them all back, and then you get that kind of, you know, that really personal view and memories of your wedding. If anybody is getting married, good luck to you.
Top tip from Gav.
Lenovo's. What's the goss? UFM.
All right, Chippy, put us out of our misery. We've been picking our brains trying to work out what ads you're talking about and how it's all, you know, sneakily been made. What's happening?
We flash back to 2009, the iconic Cadbury ad, the two young kids sitting there with the eyebrows dancing.
Oh, that was big.
That was huge. It was everywhere. Now, at the time, Georgia Wake was 9 years old.
Wow.
I can tell you that she looks a lot different now to what, you know what, actually, no, you can still tell it's actually her, but she still looks a lot different to what she did when she was 9 years old. She's jumped onto TikTok and said that it actually is not a talent that she's had, that she's lied to the entire nation.
Hold on. So
what do you mean?
Yeah, please elaborate.
Looks like a bit of trickery on their behalf. Now, I'm sure that she's done a little bit of a movement of the eyebrows, but it's not a skill that she can actually do, which is pretty much the crux of the TikTok.
So it's all photoshopped.
Must be.
Whoa, and here was I full glass and halving it and everything in everyone, and I was convinced by that, and now my whole world's shaken up. I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, it's going viral on TikTok. It's only been up for, like, less than 24 hours has already racked up almost 500,000 views. Like, people are invested.
They
are. People are very invested. So I felt that was a bit of a shock factor this morning. A couple of shocks were happening last night as well. The ARIA Awards, Australian Music's Night of Nights. The big winners were our Troye Sivan, who took out a number, I think it's four, I do believe.
Wow.
Same as Genesis Owusu, who took out a lot as well. He took out Album of the Year with Struggler. Troye Sivan got Song of the Year for Rush, as well as Best Solo Artist.
Yeah, because there's always a lot of debate. Like, Song of the Year, obviously, is the big one.
Yep.
And yeah, for Troye Sivan to grab that, that's good work.
Yeah, he's had a number of stiff competition as well. Kid Laroi, Kylie Minogue, Dean Lewis, all up for Song of the Year. But Troye Sivan, the West Aussie, represents, Stephen. He's putting you on the map.
Yeah, real, like, kind of a rag to riches story, Troye Sivan as well. Went from, you know, doing all those covers on YouTube in his bedroom to one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
And I didn't think he would beat Kid Laroi.
Yeah,
I thought Kid Laroi had it in the bag.
Yeah, same. Kylie Minogue, she walked away with an award as well. It's her first ARIA in years and years and years.
Yeah.
Best pop release for Padam Padam.
years and years.
Well, it's been a very long time.
Yeah, it's been ages.
Yeah, since Kylie's won an ARIA.
You won an award, eh?
Basically, I don't think she was there. I'm pretty sure it was via video link.
It was via video, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the winners were not there.
Yeah, because I don't want to...
So Wusu wasn't there either.
Yeah, see?
They dress up and do all that stuff, but they can do it from Zoom from the comfort of their home in pyjamas.
Very true.
It keeps easier.
Now, controversially, I reckon, probably not controversially on the stage, but Emma Memma won Best Children's Album, and not that that's not well-deserved, very well-deserved. But she pipped The Wiggles, her former employees. So she used to be a Wiggle. She's branched out on her own, and she's come out on top for Best Children's Album. Now, yesterday during What's the Goss, I was trying to explain where you can watch it and how you can watch
it. Yeah, it's so confusing.
It was so confusing. The real winner of last night was Twitter, because Twitter was keeping everybody up to date with what was happening, because your free-to-air viewing was not a live viewing.
Yeah.
And so everything was already out and well-known to the public. Like, I knew that Troye Sivan had won before it was announced that he'd won.
Oh.
And it was... Yeah, look, I personally wasn't a big fan of that setup. However, it is what it is. That's the way they did it. Hopefully, all Aussie music had a good night.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, they should sort that out.
Mm.
Like, whatever crazy... The fact that none of us could understand where to watch it, we all work in media, means that that thing is messed up.
They've done it that way for years. So there's heaps of awards that they give out in what is actually a 4 or 5 hour event.
Yeah.
And then don't make it to the telecast, right? So they do it in the afternoon, at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, with the red carpet bit at like 1:30. And then they cut it all down to like an hour and a half show.
Yeah, well, then do that. Like, don't have it all these 19 ways to watch it. It's confusing me, and I'm not happy about it. Anyway, that's for them to sort out, I guess.
Guys, do you know any legends in Newcastle?
Oh, there's plenty around.
There are so many of them, aren't there?
I'm pointing at one. For those that are, you know, listening at home.
Thanks for pointing at me.
Pointing at myself.
Oh, you, is it? Oh, right.
Well, Newcastle Council is asking us to nominate a local legend for the Citizen of the Year Awards, and to help us talk about it, my favourite member of City of Newcastle Council is Carol Duncan. How are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you.
So tell us about these awards.
Look, as you said, we're just after local legends who do amazing stuff within the community. And I think sometimes people think that they've got to be, you know, famous or really well known or whatever, and they don't. They just need to be people who are making a terrific contribution in some area within the Newcastle region. So we're after a Citizen of the Year, a young Citizen of the Year, they're between 16 and 30 years of age, a senior citizen, 60 and over, glad I'm not old enough for that one. One of the areas that we're really looking for this year is Community Group of the Year. So these are, you know, those groups around us who do amazing volunteer stuff, or they help others, or do, you know, work that is really difficult to find other people to do. So community groups in particular, we're looking for you.
All right, now all these awards sound incredible, Carol, because the local legend is the one that's tickled my fancy. Is there any prerequisites at all for this award, and can you nominate yourself?
Look, you probably can nominate yourself.
Come on!
I'm I'm usually a member of the judging panel, so keep an eye out for that as it comes through. We want someone who does amazing stuff. They make a real difference in Newcastle, and they have to live within the Newcastle local government area.
There's one of these awards on the list here that I wanted to ask you about, Freeman of the City. What's that?
Oh, Freeman of the City is really special, and it's not handed out lightly. There, it is one of those awards that is really a community service recognition for a lifetime of service in the city. So I think we've only maybe had around a dozen Freemen, wow. Free people, free women of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should be free people, I think.
Free
yeah.
person. Free person free of people. The city.
Yeah. Free legend. There you go.
Free legend. I like it.
Yeah, nice.
All right. So nominations for all these awards close on Sunday. That's not the only big thing happening this weekend, though. There's also the air show.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait. Who's got a plane spotter in their family? Because I tell you what, there's several in our house. So this is wonderful, a partnership with the Australian Air Force and the City of Newcastle and Port Stephens Council. And the Williamtown Air Show is going to be flying overhead. Two massive displays on Saturday between 10 and 12.30 and the second one between 1.30 and 4. You'll be able to see it from just about anywhere. So whether you're over the city side or the Stockton side or Nobby's or wherever, it's going to be amazing. And then on Sunday, the RAF-based Williamtown is having an open day. So that's for the real airport sniffers, that one.
Do you have the, like, track the plane app and, like, your best telescope out and everything in preparation?
Who told you? I not only... I have two different flight radar type apps on my phone. Did you know you can... You can also get one that will identify the ships in the harbour and off the coast for you.
Oh, that's for the real transport spotters.
You are geeking out like you wouldn't believe at the moment, Carol. You're loving it, aren't you? Like you're getting the candy shop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've even got a sweary weather app, but that's for another day. So we want lots of nominations for legends, and we want lots of people to come and join us this Saturday to see the air show because it's going to be amazing.
Carol, you are amazing. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is The Novos. You're waking up with The Novos.
105.3 New FM.
So if you were thinking about nominating a local legend for those citizen awards that Carol Duncan was just talking to us about, but you don't live in the city of Newcastle, it's all good. Most of the other council areas also have these kinds of awards. Maitland Citizens of the Year Awards also close their nominations on Sunday. Just go to the council website and you'll find it.
Get in quick.
And once again, I'm going to nominate myself, I think. I'm jumping on the website.
You don't live in Maitland.
I'm going to still try, though.
You can nominate me.
Yeah, okay, that doesn't seem as fun. Hate to be a Demi Downer team. Some bad news. No doubt Newcastle currently in the midst of a rental crisis.
Like everywhere.
And unfortunately, news gets worse for those renting. There's new research by the University of Adelaide with the University of Essex, and they've found that the stress of renting makes people age faster, adding an extra 2.5 weeks to their biological age every year.
So that's why I feel so old. I've been renting forever.
That's it. I mean,
this is actually shocking.
So they reckon rental stress ages you twice as fast as being unemployed. It also ages you quicker than stuff like obesity or even being an ex-smoker. What? Quicker than being an ex-smoker. Surely that seems unbelievable, yeah. Doesn't it?
That's
so if you're a renter, an ex-smoker and you're obese, you fail your stuff. Is that what you're telling me?
It's not good news for you. I'll tell you that.
You're already dead.
Yeah, it's...
but that is frightening. That's terrifying.
It is terrifying. And the problem is here that the majority of renters in Newcastle are experiencing rental stress, which is aging them at this increased rate. So we look at the latest data, which is the National Shelter Economics and Planning Rental Affordability Index, which is out. I mean, mouthful.
Yeah,
very fancy. Basically what it does in a shorter form is it rates the affordability of rentals in suburbs on a 7-tier system. So it goes extremely unaffordable, severely unaffordable, unaffordable, moderately affordable, acceptable, affordable, and then very affordable. Seven tiers, right? Now, Tyers Hill, which is where Scott Chippy Frappell lives, our favourite producer, is the only suburb in Newcastle / the Lake Mac area to be considered acceptable. Not even good in that acceptable band.
Who's the lucky boy then?
Indeed.
Now, Scott, are you feeling stress, re your rental?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, look, Scott has got the nicest skin I've ever seen for someone in his mid-30s.
Yep.
He's looking so, so good.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, I'm like to Scott all the time, drop that skincare routine. You know, let us know what you're doing.
Hook us up, yo.
Turns out he's just picked a good suburb.
picked a good suburb, picked good housemates. I don't know what it is, but we got some bills in the other day, and I was like, there's no way that it's that cheap. Like, I don't know. Bills are coming in cheaper in Dyersville. They must be.
That is bizarre. Mm. And also, sounds like a bit of a life hack, doesn't it? Move to Dyersville.
Now, like I said, Dyersville are the only suburb in the Newcastle Lacmac area to be in that acceptable band, which is, unfortunately, the best band that Newcastle found itself
in. Wow.
So then, after that, we've got eight suburbs in the moderately affordable band, and they include, like, Windale and North Lambton, places like that.
Sure.
You know, Georgetown's in that kind of bracket as well. And then everything else is unaffordable, severely unaffordable, or extremely unaffordable in Newcastle.
That is terrible.
Awesome.
Not great at all.
It's just, it's crazy, isn't it? It's not even like you can pick up your lot and move somewhere else where it's going to be better. Because it seems like every single suburb is being stung by this increase in rent. I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know who needs to fix it. Someone above my pay grade. But Novocastrians, they deserve better than be aging at this extreme rate.
And you can't just all pick up and move to Dyersville because it's a tiny suburb.
Yeah.
Like you can almost see it from the one side to the other. And there's just not that many houses in there.
It's so tiny, but it's great.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's great, but not everyone can move there. Yeah. There's just not enough stock.
Good things come in small packages, so lucky for you, Chippy, but for the rest of us, I don't know, this needs to be solved. It needs to be solved quick, because we can't keep aging at this rate. It's unfair.
It certainly is. Now, we're getting close to wrapping up the show.
Come on!
Before we do, we, of course, have to award our prize of the day, which is a $100 gift card for Revolution Sports Park out at Merrieville, and that goes to Andrew from Cessnock. When we were talking earlier about the first album you bought, he admitted to buying a Susie Quattro album.
Oh, well,
that's pretty cool.
He's made us feel a bit better about our embarrassing albums as well. And speaking of feel good, tomorrow is Feel Good Friday. Woo-hoo! One more alarm to get through. So, of course, we'll have another voucher for Revolution Sports Park. We've also got $100 worth of free meat thanks to our friends at Singo's Up for Grabs.
Yes. And we're also going to be talking about the $1 million race happening on Saturday right here in Newcastle. Plus, we'll have all your other tips of what to do this weekend and our weekend guide.
We'll see you on tomorrow.
See you then. Bye.
I've been listening to your show on the radio.
You've been listening to The Novos. Would you like some more?
Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
or newfm.com.au to get more now.